Good evening. It is a pleasure to be with you once again. Welcome. I welcome you with all my heart. There's somebody writing all of this down. It's a pleasure to be with you. When we sit in the silence, we are not trying to be quiet. We go beyond that. We're sitting in consciousness, in a place where there's no universe, no world, no body, no existence. This is the real silence. Eternity. So when you keep still, as we always do for a while here, do not pay attention to your thoughts, to your feelings, to your emotions, but you are to observe them, to watch them, to be the witness to them. And let whatever happens, happen. When you sit in the silence and not try to change anything, or get mad at yourself because thoughts are coming to you, just sit, watch, and let whatever happens, happen. Many of you ask me many questions, so tonight I will pose a question to you. What is your greatest happiness? Who can tell me?
When I'm not thinking about it.
True, but that's not the answer I'm looking for.
Having no problems to solve.
Well, that's easy to say.
Occasionally, I feel like I have no problem to solve.
Well, what you want is this happiness to come to you.
Yes.
But I'm saying, what is your greatest happiness now?
When there are no desires of peace.
This is only temporary, what you're saying.
Peace.
Sure, all these words are great. But you really feel this. You may feel it momentarily. It goes away. But we all have a happiness that we keep for quite a while. Right. That's it. When you are in deep sleep, when you are in deep sleep, you are devoid of possessions and of the body. Yet when you awaken from deep sleep, don't you say, I feel wonderful, I had a great sleep. You've never pondered this before, have you? Yet as you think about it, you'll see it's true. Not when you're dreaming. When you are in deep sleep, beautiful deep sleep, you are totally devoid of all of your possessions. As far as you're concerned, you own nothing. You're not aware of your body at all, or of the universe, or of the world, of anything. And you take it for granted. But when you awaken, you stretch in bed and you feel great, don't you? You say, oh, I slept so soundly, I feel so good. This confirms the fact that happiness comes from within. And has absolutely nothing to do with external affairs. I'm speaking of real happiness, true happiness. So, what we wish to accomplish is to be in that state while we're awake. We wish to be awake like we are now, yet at the same time be sort of dead to this world and be in a state of total happiness like we are when we're in deep sleep. This is called pure awareness. This is called absolute reality. This is your real nature, your swarupa, your reality. The only reason, of course, that you do not feel the permanent happiness like you should is because you are attached to person, place, and thing, and you react to person, place, and thing. That's all. If you can stop doing that, you will be permanently happy. True? When you are in deep sleep and you do not awaken, there can be an earthquake, the world may come to an end, we can have a world war with dropping atomic bombs on everybody. You're in deep sleep. It has absolutely nothing to do with you. When you awaken, the world may be gone. It may not be the same world that you went to sleep to. Yet, it didn't affect you whatsoever. You wake up, there may be thousands of people dead outside in the streets. But you wake up from the deep sleep and you stretch and say, ah, what a wonderful sleep I had. I feel great. Now you have an inkling how a sage feels. How a yoni always feels. To one who is practicing jnana and is making progress, that one becomes oblivious to this world. Not because you don't care about it. Mind you, there's a difference. You're not trying to be obnoxious and say, what do I care about this world? That's what I'm referring to. I'm referring to the fact you have transcended the world. And the world no longer affects you. Again, it's not that you get up and you see thousands of bodies in the street and you don't see them, or you imagine they're not there. You will see the bodies, you will see the havoc, you will see the destruction. But to you it would be like images on a screen. The images cover the entire screen. You do not think about the screen when you watch a movie. You are engrossed in the images. You watch a movie, there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. And you feel the movie, you feel the objects on the screen. But you never consider there's a screen, and without the screen there can be no objects. The only reason there are objects is because there's a screen. I realize being is like the screen. When you get close to being, you realize being. You are somewhat like the screen. The images no longer affect you. Or it's like watching a movie and saying to yourself, this is not real. It's only a movie. Yet you're watching with interest. You see what's going on. You have an opinion about it. Yet you understand all the time when you're watching the movie, deep within you there's a sense of the movie being false. It's not real. Those are all actors and actresses playing their parts. Why can't you do the same thing with this life? Why can't you look at yourself as an actor and an actress playing a part? There's no reality to the part that you're playing. The reality is you, not your body. Your body is also a part in the play. What you're going through in this life and what others are going through in this life, what the world is going through, are simply acts on the stage, on the stage of life called Maya. But we refuse to understand this and we keep reacting to the parts, to the images. It's as if we decide to play a part and we got lost in the part and we believe we're the person we're playing, not realizing that the part will soon be over and you'll be back to your own self. But we start feeling that we are that part. So we feel sorry for ourselves. We look at the world and we say, what a sorry lot. We get depressed. We have desires, wants, and needs, believing erroneously that when we achieve our goals, we'll be wonderfully happy. Yeah, it never works out this way, does it? We may be wonderfully happy for a while, but as all things in this world will change, and you'll be playing a sad part, an unhappy part, then you will resolve that and you'll be playing a happy part. You'll be playing a person who's involved in a big business, making millions of dollars a year. Then you'll be involved in a part where the person becomes bankrupt and loses every penny, loses his house, business. His wife leaves him. He becomes a homeless person. It's all a part that you're playing. It's so wonderful when you can realize this. When you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that this is not real. Nothing that the senses tell you are real. Look at all the things you've been through in this life. All the situations you've been involved in. You've had good times, sad times, bad times. And you have reacted to all of these times, believing them to feel real. So you have reacted accordingly and you have felt accordingly. You felt miserable at times, you felt happy at times, you felt sick at times, you felt healthy at times. These things come and go. And if you continue the game, you will get older and older and older. Then kindly nature, of course, does not allow you to suffer so much. With good and bad, sad and happy, sick and healthy, rich and poor. So you drop the body and you take a rest. Then there comes a time when you can observe all of these things you've been doing in your life and realize that you have unfinished business, and you take up another body. And if you do not find yourself, you will go on again with other bodies and more bodies and more bodies. This seems to be the way of the universe. Karma is involved, samskaras, all part of the yoga teachings, part of most spiritual heritage. Yet the highest reality that exists is that nothing exists. Nothing exists as you know it. It's all a lie. The whole world is a lie. Your body is a lie. Your thoughts are lies. And you're playing a game that you can't possibly win. When you try to improve your humanhood, when you try to improve the worldly conditions, when you try to bring peace to this earth, you are fighting a losing battle. You therefore have to come to the conclusion that everything that is happening is in its right place. There are no mistakes. No matter how things look, it seems sort of strange when I tell you that everything is in its right place, and then again I tell you everything is a lie and nothing exists. When I say everything is in its right place, I'm referring to that the Maya that never existed and does not exist seems to have sort of hypnotized you into believing you are a human being and you're going through experiences. These experiences that you're going through have been preordained, predetermined. Therefore, at that plane of existence, everything is in its right place. There are no mistakes. Therefore, never feel sorry for yourself. Never say to yourself, "Oh, woe is me. Why did this happen to me? Poor me. Why can't I be like the guy next door?" He drives a Jaguar. He's got a good position. He's the secretary of a big firm. Why can't I be like that? Only a foolish person does this. Never compare yourself with anyone or anything. You are uniquely you. The work you have to do is to transcend the body and the world totally and completely. Becoming the absolute reality, becoming consciousness, which you really are. Only at that time will you have unalloyed happiness, everlasting happiness, bountiful peace. But when you get yourself involved in this world, only suffering can ensue. The only way to get out of it is to stop believing you are a body and that you're going through experiences. And stop believing the world is real and can affect you. How do you do this? Just by listening to the words can do it for you. Just by sitting in the silence can do this for you. Just by listening to the silence between the words can do this for you. Just by waking up can do this for you. Just by dropping your lifestyle out the window. When I say dropping your lifestyle, I'm referring to everything you've ever believed, everything you've always been attached to, everything which is important for you. Drop it. When you drop it, you become totally free. The only reason you feel that you're not free is because you are filled with stuff, filled with garbage, filled with preconceived ideas, concepts, dogmas. And no matter how I speak to you this way, many of you refuse to let go. And some of you believe you're letting go, but when something comes along, you begin to react to it, you become upset, or you become hilariously happy over something that happened to you in this world, forgetting that all things must change, and all things will change, whether you like it or not. Some people come here and they've learned how to overcome sorrow to an extent. They've learned how to handle their feelings and their emotions, and they go home and never come back, and they think that's it. This is not a psychology class. This is not even a class. This is not even a teaching. What is this? I don't know. I never asked to do this. I never planned to sit here and have people sit there and talking and talking and talking. It happened by itself. I'm not looking for anything. I have no idea why I'm here. But I'm here. And when I finish being here, I'll be there. When I finish being there, I'll be somewhere else. But the real I has absolutely nothing to do with this. The I am that I am has absolutely nothing to do with this teaching. Yet the I am that I am is the I am that you are. There's only one I am, and you are that. What I'm trying to say, there's really not a person called Robert sitting here talking to you, and you're a listener. There's only the one. The one which is consciousness, the pure awareness. There always was only one, and there will always be only one. This means what I am saying to you is you are yourself saying it also. You are that one which is the speaker and the listener. You have to come to this conclusion yourself. But again, as long as you are involved in this world, believing the world to be real, you can never come to this conclusion. Again, when I speak of getting involved in this world, I mean mentally. Physically, you have no say in the matter. Physically, your karmas have brought you where you are. But you have the power to mentally reject the situation by turning within and going deep within the self. Until you, what is called you, disappear totally. When you disappear totally, your world will also disappear totally. Your problem, so-called, will disappear totally. The universe will disappear totally. And you will feel that you're all-pervading absolute reality. It's wonderful. It's marvelous to feel free and to be free. It's wonderful to know that there are no fears that are real. There's no world that can hurt you. There's no universe that judges you. There's no God who gives you favors or gives you judgment. Just saying these things and not doing it again. It's not explaining these things. It's becoming this. You become this when you have the right attitude. As I sit here spitting this nonsense out to you, You should be emptying yourself by dropping all of your feelings, your thoughts, your emotions, your fears, your frustrations. Let them go. Drop them. Drop them right now. Feel the emptiness. Feel the freedom. Feel the love. Now get rid of the feeling. Go beyond feeling. Do not ask yourself what is beyond feeling. You don't have to know. Just do it. There is no one left to feel anything. You have become boundless space. You are free from the confines of your body and your mind. You have become the imperishable self. And you are aware that everything is the self. Everything. And you are that. This means that you are the flowers and the birds. You are the universe, you are the world, you are everything. You are the God. You have become all things, and there is no name to describe it. Go beyond words and thoughts. There is actually no name to give it, no word to call it. For if you describe it or you call it by a name, then it's not that. I'm speaking of the formless essence of love. The ultimate reality. The Satchitananda, Nirvana, it is beyond the void, beyond emptiness, beyond nothing. The human mind cannot grasp this. Therefore, do not use your mind to try to understand what I'm saying. Allow your spiritual heart to open. Not your physical heart, but your spiritual heart. Your spiritual heart has always been this, this absolute reality. You are that. Now allow your thoughts and your body and your mind to sink into the spiritual heart. Until the you disappears entirely. And you are absolutely free. Feel free to ask any questions you like, or questions you don't like.
Sometimes, like now, you know, I'm not at work, things are taken care of, and I can relax and think about life as an illusion. But then, come tomorrow, you know, I have to think about practical matters, and a lot of life seems to be an avoidance of pain, and it seems it might be illusion, but the pain to me feels real, and that keeps me going, you know, in my life, and you know, seems to hold things together. There doesn't seem too much leeway in that.
Yes. This is all the work of the mind. You therefore have to inquire within yourself, to whom does this mind come who's going through all this? What is the source of the mind? Inquire. Where does this mind come from? What is its source? The mind that thinks all of these thoughts and keeps me confused this way. And then follow the I thought. Because the answer will be, I think this. The mind comes to me. I am that mind, I think this. So you further inquire, where is the source of the I? Who am I? Where does I come from? And you will soon come to realize that all of the aforementioned problems are really attached to the I. After all, don't you say, I feel this, I feel that, I'm doing this. So they're all attached to the I. When you follow the eye to the heart, the eye will disappear and dissipate, and so all of the problems in the mind and everything else will go with it. But if you only remember, it's all attached to the eye. Because every time you have a problem, you say, I feel this. I'm involved in this situation. I feel disillusioned. I feel uncomfortable. Who is this I that feels this? It's not you. You're saying, I feel this. The I is not you. As you follow the I thought, the I is a thought, an idea. It's not real. The I will enter the heart center and will disappear totally and completely and will be free. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, well, chop off your finger, you'll still feel the pain.
Who has the pain? The eye. When the eye dissipates, when the eye goes away, there'll be nobody around to think about chopping off fingers. There'll be emptiness, which is happiness and joy and peace. It is only the eye that thinks about chopping off the fingers, that thinks about pain. It is the eye thought that feels all of these things. So again, when there's no eye thought, there's nobody to have these experiences. Just remember that you are not the eye. And you have to inquire, then, who am I? Or where does I come from if I'm not the eye? What you're really doing, you're looking for the source of the eye. How did this eye arise? Where did it come from to begin with? And you follow it back from whence it came. If you can do that, it'll be a whole new ballgame.
We were talking a little on Sunday about what a mistake it is to feel superior to a person, place, or thing, or feel scornful towards any of those things. Would it would also be on the same line, there's no point in feeling admiration for a person, place, or thing. They are.
When you feel admiration, you're feeling yourself. This is the self you're talking about. So you are that self. If you feel admiration towards someone, you're feeling it yourself. You are that. If you're feeling something else, then that's what you are also. It's only you. You're always the one who feels these things. It comes out of you. You create the universe in which you live. You create the people in your life. You create everything that's going on in your environment, in your experience. It all emanates out of your mind. So when you feel admiration or you feel disgust, you're feeling this. It's all coming out of you. There's only one self, and you are that.
Seems like it involves judging, wants to be avoided and wants to be sought. Admiration should be sought and scorn avoided.
For whom? For the mind. So again, do not look at the effects. The world is only an effect. Look at the cause. The cause is Brahman. The cause is consciousness. Go for that. Exactly. Do not try to change conditions. Exactly. Because you'll always have reactions and always have conditions. You'll just be changing one reaction to another reaction, one condition to another condition. It'll never end.
Give up reactions altogether as much as possible.
Of course.
But to give up reactions, not that you have to give up the eye, you gotta transcend the eye completely.
Exactly. Exactly. You can't give up reactions if you try. Because you'll always be reacting. But if you give up the eye, that reacts. The reaction is part of the eye. Get rid of the eye and you won't react. Because who reacts? I react. Exactly. Follow its film.
Why can't I do that during the day?
You don't really put yourself in another place. You do not put yourself into any place. It's not you that does it. It happens by itself.
Yeah.
When you lie down, you go to sleep. Yet you say, I slept when you wake up. When you dream, you say, I dreamt. And when you're in the so-called waking world, you say, I am awake. The eye disappears, the three states disappear also. You transcend all three states. You become absolutely free, liberated.
Sometimes when I wake up, I don't invariably say I slept well and had a good sleep.
That's because you didn't.
Yeah, but the way you originally described it, it sounded so it's inevitable that you feel good about it.
If you sleep through, you have to feel good.
Sleep through.
And it's only when you dream that's positive. But if you sleep through, you'll get up and you'll feel great.
In other words, I might have had a dream of which I had no remembrance when I woke up.
Yes.
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 Sometimes I remember dreams and sometimes I
don't. Exactly. We're all like that. It is only when you're in deep sleep, no dream, dreamless. Everybody has the same experience. You will wake up from dreamless sleep and you'll feel great, refreshed.
Or
a good dream.
Robert, I guess are you implying that people may become indifferent to their condition, to their conditions?
No.
I mean, like if a person were homeless. That wouldn't be an intelligent person wouldn't want to be homeless.
You can't talk about somebody that you don't know.
Well, me, I wouldn't want to be homeless. I don't have anything to prove that would make me want to go out and be homeless. I mean, I would avoid trying to be homeless, so I'd have to react to conditions.
The truth is, you have no choice in the matter. If you were meant to be homeless, you'd be homeless. Nothing in the world can stop it. No matter what you say or think, it wouldn't change. Remember, everything is preordained. The only freedom you've got is to turn within and not react to the condition. Besides that, everything has been preordained before you came to this earth. What you are now is preordained that you should be what you are. So forget about thinking that I've got control. Spend your time transcending by diving deep, deep within yourself, getting rid of the self, the personal I, and everything else will take care of itself.
Tendency or non-tendency to transcend is preordained?
It's preordained, exactly. Everything is preordained, but you should act like it's not. Act as if you have the freedom, the choice to go within. It becomes paradoxical. act as if nothing is preordained. You know, deep inside, realize everything is preordained. And you'll do the right thing. You'll do what you're supposed to do.
But in terms of those other parts of your life, aspiration in the outer world, are you suggesting there that you act as if things aren't preordained too?
Yes. Everything in all the realms of existence are preordained.
So then you sort of play a game that you act as if it's not preordained.
Yes.
And you exert effort or aspiration or whatever.
Yes.
But you don't get real upset when it doesn't turn out.
Exactly. That's it. And as you keep this up, your feelings begin to change tremendously. The things that used to make you upset stop making you upset. The things that you used to fear, the fear disappears. And you keep working on yourself this way, going deeper and deeper and deeper, until the day comes when your body is totally transcended and you're completely liberated.
But if it's truly all preordained, why fight it? Why not just say, okay, it's all preordained and go with that?
Because you can't. Because that's preordained too. If you're a person supposed to be passive and not do anything, it'll happen by itself. And no matter how you try to be non-passive, you won't be able to do it. So that's why you flow with things. You flow with your resistance and you flow with your passivity. Whatever happens, you flow with it.
Mm-hmm. Comes out of that.
Which is the more beneficial path to take? Is it the path of quick love? Or would it be jnana, vichara, tapasya?
It's not up to you. If you go within yourself, you will know what to do. It will come to you. Being in this class tonight is all preordained. Therefore, you have to ask yourself, what am I doing here? Do I belong here? And you will know what to do. Everything you do is right. Bhakti is correct. Karma Yoga is correct. Jnana is correct. They're all right. There are no mistakes. They all lead to the same goal. The path that you should follow is within your heart. If you really feel the truth within your heart, you will be led to the right teacher and the right movement and the right ideas, and everything will take care of itself. He did only on mature people. On certain people have been through this before. By through this before, I mean have incarnated before, and they've been in this path before. And their mature souls were able to handle vichara. So their path is up to vichara. But he told others to practice pranayama, to practice mantra, to practice bhakti. Every person is different. But there's something within you that knows what to do. Learn to listen. It will tell you what to do. All the answers are within you. After all, are you not the Atman? You are that. Tat Svam Asi. be yourself. Yes. Yes. The freedom you have in this world is not to react to conditions, but to turn deep within the self and realize your divine nature.
Isn't that preordained?
That's preordained. But imagine it's not. And do it.
What's jnana and vichara?
Self-inquiry. Jnana means wisdom. Supreme wisdom. Vichara is inquiry. Atma vichara, self inquiry. Inquiry into the self.
Robert, in one of Ramana's books, he told, he instructed that for self inquiry, it's desirable not to. To do too much physical work. Maybe this is the old world that you live in, I don't know.
Actually, do not concern yourself with that. If you practice self-inquiry correctly, the work will take care of itself. You will find that if you're not supposed to do any work, you will not do any work.
I wish that was the case. My karma's not that good, I guess.
Why? Up to this point, perhaps that's how it was, but now it's different.
Pardon me?
Forget about the past.
Yeah.
There is no past. There's no future. There's only the eternal now.
Well, I guess what I'm alluding to is I'm in a kind of a grueling job, and I notice the deeper I go into self-inquiry, my body gets real sensitive, and I feel like the things I do, I have to do with my body. It takes a lot of my energy, and it's quite painful sometimes. And I want to change this condition. I mean, I want to find a different work where I'm not getting so, you know, physically tired.
Again, if you're doing the right thing, everything will take care of itself.
Well, I feel that way, but in the meantime, you know, I still have to deal with this. I guess everybody has to deal with their crummy job and what it takes out of them, and they have to go through this every day. So
look at it in a different way. Inquire within, who feels this? To whom do these feelings come? What are the source of the feelings? Where do the feelings come from? Keep asking yourself these questions. Who feels as if they don't like this job? Who feels as if they should be somewhere else? Keep inquiring continuously as you're working. Who feels as soon as this comes? And you'll see what happens. Well, we can tell Tony is back. We got Prasad. It's interesting. People inquired to me, where's Tony's Prasad? I didn't care about Tony at all. Where's Tony's Prasad? Yeah. Some of you should bring prasad also sometimes. We've been very negligent with this. To bring prasad is a blessing. So Sundays or Thursdays, whenever you come, Saturdays, stop at your local bakery and get prasad. The good kind.
Karma.
Where?
Karma free.
Oh, karma free. Mary has a couple of announcements to make. Explain about the transcripts.
Yes, I have two transcripts in each of them, and I have a little note on all of them every time I hand them out. Xerox 10 or more copies, please. Thank you. So if I can have, I can have five people. I've been working quite a bit ahead, and I'm so glad. My name is Otta. Thanks, Gail. Thank you. Oh, thank you very much.
You got it.
We do have transcripts for all the lessons. They're free of charge. Feel free to take them. So it's prasad time.